Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Okay, this morning's sermon's scripture will be from two scriptures, one from the Old Testament, one from the New. Old Testament is Lamentations 3, 19 through 33. The thought of my affliction and homelessness is wormwood and gall. My soul continually thinks of it as it bows down with me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. The Lord is good, and those who wait upon him, the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for one to bear the yoke of youth, to sit alone in silence when the Lord has imposed it, to put one's mouth to the dust. There may yet be hope, to give one's cheek to the smiter or be filled with insults, for the Lord will not reject forever. Although he causes grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love, for he does not willingly afflict or grieve anyone. And then from 1 John 4, 9 through 11. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be an anointing sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another.
Good morning and welcome, beloveds in Christ. My name is Mavi and I will be sharing a message with you today that I hope will inspire you to make some big goals and take some actions that you may have been putting off as we start this new year. And I am so pleased to be joining with you, even though we are apart, and I long and yearn to be for us to be together and for things to get back to normal. I am so inspired by your continued faithfulness and endurance and the fact that you are continuing to meet and join in fellowship, even if it is just virtually and not in person. I know that it seems like we are here at the beginning of a new year doing the same thing that we were doing last year, but I promise you that God's work is happening and God's love endures. We have just heard the scriptures from Lamentations and 1 John. Lamentations is written by the prophet Jeremiah. And it's written during a time when God's people were going through a lot of suffering. And it is written in a way that kind of explains why we go through hard times. And it's a way to remind us that God is still with us. And I was reminded this week as I was preparing for this sermon, I was doing research, I was listening to music, and I was noticing that there are a lot of messages of despair, helplessness, and worries. And I want to remind us, as I was reminded, that these are the words of men and the works of the world. These are not the words of God. I contemplated the suffering of God's people, and I was moved by the prophet Jeremiah in this morning's scripture. In remembering his pain, he says, "There may yet be hope, for no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Indeed, the word of God is peace, hope, and redemption. We just celebrated the arrival of Jesus and God with us and the fulfillment of the promises as we celebrated Advent over the last few weeks. And it's a new year, and I want us to remember that those promises still exist. God is still with us. It is my prayer today that also John's word will serve as a motivation to you as you decide who you will be and what you want to represent to the world this year. John says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." That's why Jesus was sent to be with us, because God loved us. And my challenge to you this year, as you are starting out and maybe writing your intentions and goals, is that you will embrace a new and renewed love. You have a new year, let's have new love. I'm going to ask you to do this in three ways. And I believe that when you choose to accept this challenge, you will not only leave an impression on the people around you, but you will find a renewed purpose, and you will feel and know that God's great love is growing within yourself. The first way I would like for you to experience and challenge you to have this new love is love through your works. The work that Jesus came to show us hasn't ended. The promises of peace and redemption are still available to the world, and that work needs to happen through us. There are so many causes and things that we can get behind and rally around and support, but it's not enough for us to hide behind our social media soapboxes where there's hardly any real action or accountability. What I'm talking about today is real service, both inside and outside the church. I want you to ask yourself these questions as I ask them to you, and really think about them and give yourself an honest assessment. What works can you do that would embody love and John or Jeremiah's words that we heard this morning? What service can you provide to someone that is feeling despair or hopelessness? What would bring them forward to a moment of comfort that there yet may be hope? And what would help them to know that no one is cast off or left behind from God? Are you currently helping people in need? And is there room to expand that? Where in your schedule can you create time to serve others in your community and in this church? Jesus was plain and simple when he said, "Feed those that are hungry, clothe those that are naked, and give water to those that thirst." He challenges us not only to nourish people in their physical bodies, but also in their spiritual minds and in their heart. We are called to use our talents and gifts in a way that shows people that you interact with that God is still at work in this world. It starts with praying for discernment to recognize your talents and to be shown a path that will allow those talents to be used in love for light and goodness. Sometimes we hide our talents or we use them only for our own benefit. Sometimes we are afraid that they won't be good enough or wanted or needed. And sometimes we're just being lazy. I promise you, if you look around, you will find that there are good works to be done, and I challenge you to do them. What are the things that you can do? What are the actions that you can take that can help somebody today and every day this year? The next way I want you to experience and embrace this new love is love through your words. Are we indeed known for how we love each other? Does the way that you speak to others reflect God's love? We are aware at this time that our words carry a lot of weight and are very powerful. And some of us choose those words to spread messages of despair or hate, or they're used as weapons. What I'm going to ask you to do is to use your words for kindness and love. It's easy to be kind when we are around people that we like. But what about when we encounter people that have hurt us, or people who just plain get on our nerves, people we just don't like? Sometimes it's someone at your work that you just can't stand, or someone that has done you wrong, has hurt you, maybe lied or cheated you. What if that person is within your household or your family? Then it gets a little bit complicated, and sometimes it's even harder with people that we know and are familiar with to show that kindness. Are we allowing ourselves to be consumed with contention, or is it possible that in a moment of anger, we can soften and diffuse a situation by choosing words of kindness and love? Or at the very least, adhering to the adage, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Sometimes the kindness is in holding back and not saying something that we can't take back or that we know will be very hurtful. And on the other hand, are we holding back words of love, allowing fear or hang-ups to stop us from sharing something so very powerful and important? The Apostle John says there is no fear in love, and perfect love drives out fear. Our words can be used to relay a message of compassion and hope. Is there someone you could be checking on, calling or texting to say, hey, I care about you. How are things going? How can I lift you up in prayer? I have a friend that I met in my lay servants classes who checks on me regularly. It's not like a scheduled Tuesday at 2 o'clock, I can expect a text message, but it's pretty regular. And I'm gonna tell you that whenever I get those messages, it always seems to come at the perfect time. Right when I'm needing for somebody to care for me and pray for me. Share with someone that they are important, worthy, and loved unconditionally. It only takes a few moments to be that source of help for others. And too often we allow life to get in the way of God's work. Time slips by and sometimes it's too late. So don't wait. Reach out to the person that you've been thinking about and let them know that they are loved, and ask how you can lift them up. I also want you to take a deep consideration about the conversations you have, not only in your personal lives, but also the ones that we have online. Are your conversations filled with despair, worry, or complaints and general negativity? Or are you someone that can be counted on to speak comfort, peace, gratitude, and compassion? Let your words reflect the love and light that we have found in our redemption through Christ. That's my challenge for you with our words. And finally, the last way I would like for you to embrace this new love is love through this church. The other day I was talking to my mom, who is not a regular churchgoer, but she has been raised in love and light and a love for Jesus and good things. And this is what she said about our church here at PBUMC. She said, this church is a unicorn. You won't find another like it. She said that this congregation and the work done here shows the world the true meaning of the Spirit. This church shows love. That is so encouraging to me because I have experienced that myself, and I believe many of you have experienced that as well. And I'm wondering if we are limiting the love that this church has, or are we sharing it to the world? Of course, it was so much easier to do that and to share this congregation's work before we had so many restrictions because of the virus. We were able to do parades and we were able to go out and expand our outreach. But these restrictions are not an excuse for us to become comfortable with the way things are. The need is still there and it still needs to be done. People shouldn't have to walk into these doors in order to experience the immense love this unicorn church is. And right now they can't do that. So what are we going to do about it? This one may take a little bit more effort from all of us. The work that this church does is mighty and it's important. It needs to continue to grow in faith and numbers. We cannot count on the current people who come and worship here. We can't. We need this work to continue for decades to come. Long after you and I are here, this church will continue to grow in love and numbers. And this may mean that we need to share more frequently on social media, not only devotional scriptures or sermons, but also letting people know what's so special about this place. When's the last time you shared a testimony? Do people know why you're here? Do they know why you came and why you stay? Do they know why this church is important or how this church has helped you? So much energy can be put into our outreach ongoing. Are we meeting our neighbors? Is the community aware of current or upcoming service projects? Or are we hiding our light under a bushel? We also need to ensure the financial means to keep the work going. Becoming more diligent and committing a portion of our earnings to tithing and offerings can have a huge impact on the help that this church can do for this community. Let's not put the needs of this church on the back burner. I challenge you to find a way to make its growth and health a priority. There are people that need this place. They need its love. I remember being one of those people. In my saddest times, this church members reached out to me. They did not wait for me to look for the help. They reached out to me, put their arms around me, and found a way to bring me into the fold. I was fed spiritually, sheltered in love, and moved by the Spirit in ways that I call miraculous. How many of you have had similar experiences? And how many have found their home in this church? Indeed, we have a great opportunity now to show that God is still with us, that there is love and hope and help at hand. The work is here to do, and the love that Christ brought to us needs to come through us to the world. John's words ring true still today, that even though we haven't seen God, if we love one another, God lives in us and God's love is made complete through us. It's up to us to do this. And I invite you again to embrace this love and to make it a habit in your life. You won't regret it, and now is the time. I'll leave you with a quote that was shared with me this week. It's from the Chinese philosopher Confucius. Confucius says, "We have two lives, and the second begins when we realize we only have one." There's a lot to think about and unpack there, but we only have this one life to live. And I challenge you, as you have the next 12 months in front of you, to think about what you can do and how you can actively represent the promises and the love of Jesus Christ into this world through your actions, your words, and through this church. Please go in peace.
Good morning, church. We come together this day for the prayers of the people. Oh Lord, I ask you, Lord, to look upon this congregation this day and bless it, Lord. We are going through so many trials, so many struggles. We are once again facing a partial shutdown where we're worshiping online. There are a few that are gathered here, and there are many that are worshiping today online. But Lord, I ask you to bless this congregation, to shed your love and your peace over all those that worship here, that we come just as we are to do your service and to do your will. I come to you this day, O Lord, Heavenly Father. I ask you to pray for this community, this nation, and for all those that are in power with the laws that govern our nation. We stand divided on so many issues, Lord. But I ask you, Lord, during this time, that you help us to humble ourselves, that you help us to learn in silence, that we may listen and hear how you speak to us as we still continue to endure this pandemic. There are so many things that are threatening our democracy in this nation, and so many untruths that are being spoken, Lord, this day. We live in a world that we enjoy the convenience of technology and science that has brought us the internet, that has brought us cars for transportation, that has brought us light in a time of darkness. But yet we fail to ignore the science and technology that teach us ways of how to prevent and protect ourselves during this pandemic. Just a simple wearing of a mask seems to put us at debate with each other. We ask you, Lord, humble our hearts. Humble our minds. Let us hear in silence to hear what you're speaking to us this day. We ask you, Lord, to also that this is a new year and a new time of love. We ask you, Lord, to guide us in our works that we do, that we may bring the love of Christ to those that are near and those that are far. We ask you, Lord, to help us use the words that you may provide for us, that we may again show the love of Christ to all those we meet. We ask you, Lord, to bless this church, that it may continue to do the will of God in this building and throughout this community, that we seek to help those that don't have the means to support themselves, those that are unsheltered, those that are struggling, those that have been marginalized in this community. We ask you, Lord, to continue to strengthen this church and all that we do. And I ask you, Lord, to lift up in prayer those within the midst of our congregation that is struggling with COVID right now, those who have lost loved ones throughout this year, those who are suffering, those who are hurt, those who are feeling pain, all because of this pandemic. We ask you, Lord, to bless those that are having struggles within their work and within their community. Whatever that may trouble them, I ask you, Lord, to send out your blessing, to send out another day of Pentecost, that we may fill your spirit within our hearts, and that we may walk with new love, new purpose, and new life in this coming year. And I ask you, Lord, that as we gather this day, that we remember the words that Christ has spoke to us so many years ago when he taught us to pray the prayer by saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.